It's been, in my estimation, a very busy night on Sound Off. I think Greg Fachano would agree with me. We have been pushing a lot of buttons, and I don't think they're going to stop, and we invite you to call. Keep in your mind that our number here, if you wish to contact us on Sound Off, is 897-7270. If you live outside of our dialing area, it's 1-800-WSB-TALK. I believe it was on Thursday. Thursday. A gentleman called me up and said that, hey, I've got a dynamite suggestion for a guest for you. And I says, oh, what is that? And he went on to describe that Mr. George Pike, or Reverend George Pike, advocates something about not having to die. And I said, gee, that is kind of interesting, since people have been dying with regularity since time began. And I don't know whether I have that promo correct or not, Reverend Pike, but I would like to welcome you to WSB and find out exactly what it is you want to talk about tonight.
Thank you, Bob. I'd like to comment just a little bit concerning mortality and whether a man really was meant to die or whether he was not meant to die when he was placed in this world.
Well, I think, can't we go by the record, Reverend Pike, that it's pretty well established that everybody dies and that they more or less have a mortal future?
That's true. Everybody does. As a regularity, they die. And there doesn't seem to be any way to prevent death. Maybe sometimes we can have a little help from the medical profession or otherwise, you know, to sustain life, maybe prolong life a little. But men always die. But it is not the plan of God for man to die. It never was the plan of God for man to die. And I believe that with just a few comments here and there, I can prove that.
Okay, well, go ahead. You've got the microphone. And let's remind everybody that if you have any question, or if you don't believe anything that he says, or if you do believe what he says, you can give us a call at 897-7270. Or if you live outside of our dialing area, it's 1-800-WSB-TALK. Go ahead, Reverend Pike.
First of all, we're reminded by the great Apostle Paul that there is a mystery. In 1 Corinthians, it is the 15th chapter, the 51st verse. He tells us that there is a mystery concerning death. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. So then, I'd like to base what I'm saying on the fact that Paul speaks of a mystery. Paul, being the overseer to the Gentile church, or the Gentile people, after God having left off with the Jews, he reminds us of what he calls the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is, he reminds us of a great mystery. He says, great is the mystery of godliness. And he said, of this mystery I'm made a steward. And most people, you know, they think of the gospel as being a real simple thing, whereas I agree to that. You know, the simplicity of the gospel is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Wait a minute, Mr. Pike, wait a minute. I didn't know that when I talked to your contact that it was going to be a sermon. Do you have a specific message about the mortality of man, other than the spiritual interpretation of the Bible that we all live in a hereafter? Is that what you're getting at?
There is no life, Bob, beyond the grave, or life on this side of the grave, without God being involved in it. I believe you'll agree to that.
Well, I don't necessarily have to believe in that. I can listen to what you're having to say, but you say there's no life beyond this life that we're talking about right
yes,
now?
Yes, sir.
There is no life.
There is no life beyond this, other than the fact that God gives life. Can I comment just a little bit? See, first of all, we're dealing with two kind of lives. And the kind of life that we are acquainted with is mortal life. And so far as we know, that is the only existing life, is mortal life. But then the question arises like this: if there is but one life, why does the Bible speak of two deaths? It speaks of the second death.
Okay, then basically I was conned. Because quite frankly, Reverend Pike, when this man called me up, he said that you were a dynamite individual who was going to prove that there is no such thing of worrying about death anymore. And I guess maybe I assumed something else, that maybe you had some magical elixir or something, but basically you're saying the same thing that every preacher across the United States is saying.
I'm saying the same thing, with the exception of one thing, Bob, is that we're living at a time of the change, and there is a message and there is a mystery that has been revealed that will cause man to bypass the grave. And I have discovered the mystery. It's been revealed to me.
How did you find out about that?
After about 30 years of waiting on the Lord, I finally found the mystery that Paul spoke of.
Okay, are you willing to disclose this mystery to the rest of the people so that they don't have to worry about this?
Well, I can say a few things concerning it. To just, you know, simply state what it is, it would take quite a long while.
It would indeed, huh?
Yes.
Because you were waiting 30 years to find this out.
Well, it took 30 years for me to obtain it.
But what is the bottom line, Reverend Pike? You're saying that you're not going to die?
I'm saying that there is a generation that definitely is not going to die, and we are approaching the generation. They very definitely are not going by the way of the grave.
Who are these people that aren't going
These are those that are chosen by God to bypass the grave, and they are going to have something revealed to them that the others will not have revealed to them. Let me comment like this. The scripture speaks of a light. It said, and this great light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. See, that is to say, there is an intellectual darkness that is a derivative from the fall of mankind from the garden, which has to do with the tree of knowledge and our everyday status of living. And that is considered darkness, and there is no ability, even in the powers of the great professors, to comprehend this great thing that God has hid. The Bible tells us that God has hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and made it revelation unto babes such as are willing to learn.
I don't understand. You may be right that it will take me 30 years to understand what you probably already know, but you're saying, if I can encapsulate this, that there is going to be a generation of people that are not going to die.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Now, that violates my sense of intellectual understanding, because people have been dying since time began, and I think it's safe to assume that people will continue to die.
Okay, can I comment on something that might be enlightening concerning that?
I wish you would.
First of all, we just assume the idea that man will live about 70 years, and between 70 and 100 years, you know, he just about lives his life out.
Yeah.
But then, when we think about that, we think of it like this. Is the body that God created, is it inferior? Does it really have to die? Is it perishable? Or should we lean upon medical science? And I do believe in medical aid. But should we lean upon medical science as to the answer to this? See, that is to say, Bob, what happened to men like Enoch that lived 300 years? And what happened to men like Noah that lived 900 years? Or Methuselah? See, these men had the same bones, the same flesh. Pardon me. They had the same things to cope with in life that we
How do we know they lived 300 years, Reverend Pike?
According to the Bible, which is the basics of our history.
The Bible says the world was created in 7 days. Could it be possible that the 300 estimate of these individuals could have been in the same time frame that would have compressed things a little bit?
It could have been. You know, from an intellectual survey, you could come up with that thought.
Yeah.
But see, it is a true fact that historians have to go back to the Bible. Even our educational world has to go back to the Bible when they begin to get the root of history, or his stories, we say.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's take a little time out here for some callers. Our number is 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. We have Reverend George Pike, who has an interesting philosophy here. Are you one of the chosen that is not going to go to the grave?
I am one of his chosen.
You are one of the chosen. You're not going to die, and you don't have
no,
the
slightest... I'm not
slightest...
saying that I'm not going to die, but I say that I have discovered the thing that is going to keep man alive. This is not a hoax, as we say. It's not a wild idea. It's absolutely authentic.
Uh-huh. And you get this authenticity from some message?
It is from a revealed thing.
You can't tell me what it is.
Basically, you'll find it written. Everything found
But it wasn't written for you. You got it from some direct source.
Revelation.
Is
Paul the Apostle received it by revelation.
And you are privy to the same information.
Yes, sir. That's
all right.
All right.
If you have any calls on this, our number is 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. You want us to take a break, Mr. Pichano? And then we'll be back to our callers. It is now 10:18. Right, welcome back to Sound Off, everybody. Our number is 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Let's go to our callers. You have your earphones on. Hello there, you're in Sound Off.
Yes, hello.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Pike started off his talk by saying something, quoting a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that caught my ear, and I looked in the Bible. It said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye," and so forth. Well, what he gets from that is something completely different from what I get, and I'd just like to throw it out to all the listeners. And I want to say this and then hang up and listen on the phone. But perhaps when Mr. Pike and others read that particular passage in the future, we can all remember that at one time or another, every last one of us on this planet were at one time a twinkle in our Father's eye. And when they washed our diapers and cleaned them out, the one could say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And all I can say is that Johnson's baby powder does a lot to soothe the sting of death. And I'll hang up and listen as Mr. Pike comments.
I'm not sure I understand what he was talking about. Johnson's baby powder and dirty diapers. Would you like to move on and tell me why you were picked to live forever?
Okay, Bob, the thing that I'm speaking of...
Speak into the microphone, please.
The thing that I'm speaking of is that God does have chosen ones. He very definitely does. You may be a chosen one. This gentleman here may be a chosen one. I'm not to say. If I was with you for a while, perhaps I could tell. I usually can. But it's not for me to say that. But God definitely does have those that are going to discover the same thing that kept Enoch alive and that kept Methuselah alive. Let me say it like this, Bob. First of all, Methuselah lived 900 years. Noah lived 900 years, and these people died. Enoch lived 300 years, and he did not die because he discovered the secret.
You mean he's still with us?
He is still alive. Very definitely is still alive.
I find this... I don't mean to laugh. Obviously, this is something that strikes me as rather odd that somebody is still alive that the last time pointed out was 300 years of age.
Yes, sir.
I still want to find out how you were appointed or anointed with this information. Surely it must have been a bolt out of the blue, or it must have been some sign that you're not going to die. And I really want to get to that point so that our listeners can understand where you're coming from.
Well, I received this, as I said, by revelation. You know, the Bible speaks in one place like this. It tells us to pray that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation.
Why you and not somebody else?
Well, I've often answered that like this, Bob. We could say, why me and not someone else? But if someone else had received it, we would be asking him the same question, why him and not someone else?
Yeah.
So it has to be somebody.
So you don't worry about getting your affairs in order at all anytime soon, and you don't worry about insurance policies, or you don't worry about wills or trust funds or anything like that, Mr. Pike, because you're going to live forever. Is that correct?
Well, that is altogether wrong.
Oh, it is?
Because I do believe in most of the things you spoke of, and I think they should be set in order because...
You're hedging against the future in case this revelation isn't quite right. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm only trying to protect the innocent or those that may not be the chosen for this. See, Bob, for many years, I believe God. We've had cancer healed by doctor's reports because I believe God. And the witnesses or the patients have come back and testified before hundreds of people. See, and we have greatly been blessed in many ways. But as pertaining to immortality, it gives you a thrill to know that you do have the opportunity to live forever.
I was told that you were going to drive up in a limousine. You must have because you brought an entourage of people with you. Did you come up in a limousine?
Actually, there was a misunderstanding there. We have a courtesy car that is the limousine.
Oh, I see.
And there was a number of us coming up, but we came in a regular car, just a Lincoln.
Okay, let's go back to our callers. 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Good evening. You're on sound off.
Yes, sir. I wanted to talk to the minister.
All right.
Sir, I think I have a little insight and a feeling and a grasp of what you're trying to say. My viewpoint on this is that you say we are going to live forever. Okay, our souls, if we believe in God or the Lord, our souls will live forever, but correct me if I'm wrong. Our bodies did come, you know, from dust, and our bodies were not meant to live forever because that's not what God's interested in. It's ourselves, and I'm just so nervous. But, you know, that's the way I feel. And another thing is that, you know, some of us may be chosen, but it also says if you knock, then the door will be open. So God, we can choose. God gave us that right.
Okay. Let me comment right here. Now, I could say lots of things and get into a doctrinal differences, but we're not here for that. We just want to be brief in what we say and try to explain very thoroughly as to what we're saying. First of all, see, if God does not intend for our bodies to last eternally, then why is it that the Bible teaches that he hath made the earth to last eternally? For one generation cometh, another goeth, and the Bible said the earth abideth forever, and he made the earth to be inhabited. Whereas another thing is, why does the Bible use the terms when it speaks of death, saying that death is God's enemy and that God hath no pleasure in death?
You're not going to die, right?
Not planning to, Bob.
You're not going to die.
I'm not planning to.
But somebody else may have some other plans for you, Reverend Pike.
Well, that's true.
I mean, you know, you could be driving home tonight and get hit by an 18-wheeler and you would die, wouldn't you?
That's true.
Yeah, so how can you say with such force and conviction you're not planning on dying?
I've discovered something. As I said, Bob, this is no hoax. I have discovered something that all the world, and when I say all the world, the elect of God will receive, and they'll receive it shortly because the hour is here for it.
Okay,
and
now you forgive my skepticism, but you're not selling anything, are you?
Oh, no.
No, you're not selling anything, not a book or anything.
We don't
like
even
that?
Sell our literature. We don't sell anything that we have.
Okay, you forgive my skepticism.
That's
all right, because I'm always aware of people, you know, that say, hey, I can let you live forever if you give me a little bit of money. Do re me.
That's perfectly okay. All right, Bob.
All right, let's go to our callers. Good evening. You're on Sound Off.
Okay, I wanted to ask a question. The lady before kind of touched on it. What I was going to ask is, was he talking about he was going to live forever on Earth, walking around, going to A&P or whatever, or was he talking about some other kind of living forever? Because I think we all at least hope, we may not believe it, but we all at least hope we're going to live somewhere forever. But
that's a very good question, sir. Why don't you listen on your radio? Where are you going to be as you move into this immortal realm that you intend to follow?
So far as geographical location,
yeah.
You mean?
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be on Earth, isn't it?
Well, according to the Bible, Bob, we very definitely will be on Earth.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I think this is one mistake in the lives of people. They misconstrue what God has said concerning the coming era. Well, that is to say, we are expecting to go up to glory when the Bible teaches that glory is coming down to us. It is true he hath called us to glory and virtue.
Well, what are you going to do when you're 900 years old, Mr. Pike? I mean, everybody else is going to be gone. And you think... Do you really think life is going to be worth living if you make it 900 or 1,000 years? I mean, you seem convinced in your mind you're going to live forever.
Yes, sir,
right?
That is very true.
And you're going to see a whole passing parade of different things. You're going to see war, pestilence, famine. You're going to see all kinds of things, and you're going to get old. I mean, you got gray hair now. You're balding. I mean, I can see tangible evidence of the aging process in you.
That's very true.
I assume you have your teeth and everything. Everything is
That's
whole.
True.
But 900 years from now, do you still think you'll have your teeth? Do you still think you'll have hair? And I mean, this absolutely boggles my mind that you're coming in here and telling people that you're not going to die.
Sure, I can understand that.
Doggone.
I can understand that.
All right, I tell you what, I told you this was going to be a pick-em-up show tonight. Let's go to another caller. Hello, you're on Sound Off.
Yeah, Bob.
Uh-huh.
I want to ask him something.
All right.
See, I'm 72 years old, and my mother died in 1927.
Mm-hmm.
But on his talk, see, he's never mentioned a woman in the fact.
Well, you mean are women chosen to live eternally?
No, he said it was always a man. Well, how did he get in the world if there wasn't a woman involved? I asked him that.
Well, I don't know that that is even cogent. He's talking about living forever. Are women going to live forever? Are there any women that are chosen?
There are definitely.
There are. So whoever it is that revealed this to you is not a sexist?
No.
Okay. 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're talking with Reverend George Pike, and you heard it right here on WSB. He is going to live forever. And I wish I could pin you down as to how you found this out, Mr. Pike, but let's go to another caller. Hello there.
Is that me, Bob?
Yeah.
How are you tonight?
I'm boggled.
I'd like to speak to Reverend Pike.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Reverend Pike, first I'd like to ask Do you believe that the King James Version is the inspired word of God?
Very definitely, sir.
Well, I'm not a pastor or anything, and I don't have time to go to Scripture, but I know these are correct. And I know under the first dispensation, man did live forever. But the Bible tells us that by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men.
Well, what does that mean, sir? What are you saying, that somebody lived forever?
No.
What does it say?
Everybody dies.
Everybody dies. I agree with you.
It passed upon all men.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And it also tells us that man that is born of a woman is full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down and continueth not. Now, I know that Isaac...
Sir, do you have a specific question? I don't want to sit here and just hear Bible quoting all night long because we'll just have people falling asleep. Do you have a specific question?
Well, I want him to tell me where the Bible tells me when the Bible does complete to tell us that man it does die and that there's never been, but I know I just went to heaven in a whirlwind.
Yeah.
But where is it he finds? I haven't seen anything that he's given.
Okay, sir. He does mention the fact that it has been revealed to him through revelation, which I think is begging the question. It is truly begging the question. You are a chosen person. You walk among
yes.
mortals, and you say you're going to live forever.
Yes, sir.
And you won't tell us how you found this out.
Oh, yeah. I very definitely, Bob.
Are you saying God talked to you?
God talked to me.
He came to you?
God, the Bible teaches that his sheep know his voice. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. And God very definitely communicates with people.
All right, because we get into a thing here, you know, like Oral Roberts said that he was visited by God and he was 900 feet tall. And I was going to be quick to ask you, and I don't mean to belittle this. If you really believe that, that's fine. But he came to you and talked to you. Did you see him? Did you have any manifestation of any kind of presence when he came and talked to you?
I very definitely have seen the Lord in visions and have had angels to visit me in visions.
But what did they look like?
Well, take a few minutes to describe the angel that visited with me.
An angel visited you in your home? Literally?
In the vision, yes, sir, very definitely.
You were asleep?
No. No, I was not asleep. Something had happened, and something had happened to my body momentarily, as the Bible speaks of it, you know. It tells us that when an angel comes, that you become as a dead man as a rule. The Bible teaches that when the angel visited Daniel, he became as a dead man, and I was no different. When the angel came in the vision, I was as a dead man. I could not move anything, seemingly, except I could utter a few words. That's all I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this visitation quite well. It would take a few minutes to relate the incident. It happened in Hialeah, Florida. We were on the Field for Christ, and we'd stopped for a while. And I was doing some work there in writings and whatever for the sake of lost souls. And this unusual thing took place. I had laid down my drawings. I had walked into a room nearby. And I knew where I was. I knew what I was doing. I walked into this room, and I lay down on the bed. And when I lay down on the bed, I know the direction that I was laying in. I know where the door was that I came in. And I was laying there, and all of a sudden, everything became exceedingly dark. The whole room became dark, and I became as though I was paralyzed. And then all of a sudden, I felt an unusual presence. I couldn't see anything at the moment. But I felt a presence come in that I discerned to be the Lord Jesus. I knew that was his presence. I'd felt it before. He came over to where I was, and he picked up my left hand. I was laying like this, and he picked up my left hand, and he asked me a question. He said, "Where is the stone of thy birth?" And I could do nothing but just say, "I don't know, I don't know." I just mumbled, "I don't know."
What did he mean by that, the stone of your birth? Your birthstone?
This is what it appeared. He spoke to me like this, and then he laid my hand down very gently, and he said, "I shall get thee one." I felt in the darkness his presence leave. I immediately felt it return. He come back, and he picked up my left hand. He slipped a ring on my finger in the darkness, and this is what he said to me. He said, "I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee, but lo, I shall be with thee in the time of trouble and in the time of need." And then immediately, the whole scene changed. The darkness was gone. I was not lying down, but I was standing up on my feet, turned in a different direction. And when I looked, there stood an angelic being. And he was so tall that it looked like that his head exceeded the ceiling. And he was in a long flowing garment. It was a white garment, and he had, it looked like a chestnut hair. Very well built, so far as form. And he had something in his hand, and he dropped it. As he looked down at me, he dropped it, and it just kind of like a leaf in the wind went down to the ground or to the floor. Whatever it was, I couldn't tell. But I reached down, I picked it up, and I restored it to him, and he looked very pleasant at me as though he was pleased, and immediately the vision went away. I did not understand the vision for a number of years, and then afterwards I come to understand the vision. And, of course, I know we don't have time to elaborate on that tonight.
No, we've got to take some calls. But you did have this vision.
Yes,
this is where you were told, or this is the time you were told, that you're going to live forever.
This had to do with the visitation.
All right, 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Mr. Pichano, what line would you like?
Yes, I'd like to speak with this reverend for just a moment.
Go ahead, you're doing so.
It seems to me that the Jehovah's Witnesses have had this saying about the earth abiding forever for a long, long time. This reverend hasn't probably gotten his information from a vision, but from some of the information that the witnesses have out.
Very definitely not. I have great respect for those people as well as many other people, but we do not agree at all on their doctrinal way of understanding.
Witnesses,
even though they're very fine
I'm
people.
Sorry, sir, but witnesses don't have doctrinal standing. Other religions do, but the witnesses have been teaching this to their people for a long, long time.
You mean Jehovah's Witnesses have been preaching the fact that they are chosen and they're not going to die?
Not that Jehovah's Witnesses themselves are not going to die, but that there is a generation that is going to live forever on the planet Earth. That the Bible speaks numerous times about the earth abideth forever. And in fact, in John 10, it talks about the other sheep. You know, the sheep that he's talking about, the anointed, are the ones that are going into heaven. But there are other sheep that Jesus talks about. Sheep meaning like people who are followers instead of leaders.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is that the extent of your comment?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for your call. Let's go right on to another call. Good evening. You're on Sound Off.
Hello, Bob.
Hello.
And hello, Brother Pike.
Hello.
I'm also a minister, but I'm not in any way affiliated with Brother Pike. And I would like to make a statement that it's not only in his vision, but it is in the Word of God that we will live forever. And there's an illustration in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians that says we are sown in the first Adam in the natural. Then we go into the spiritual Adam, and at the point of death, we change. There's a celestial body, and there is a terrestrial body. One is of the earth, and one is of the glory of God. And now, where we say, now, Bob, I don't want you to fall out with me about this, but sometimes it's a little bit unfair to say that we don't want to listen to a lot of Bible quoting scriptures, because that's what's wrong with the world today. They don't want to take what the Word of God says, and that's what gives us our answers. Now, it's not this natural body, as you're looking at Brother Pike, or he's looking at you, that's going to live forever.
Well, ma'am, I think that when you resort to solving philosophical questions with the Bible, that you can interpret it maybe 100,000 different ways. Would you agree with that?
That's
Reverend
true.
Pike? So that your interpretation of a particular passage may not strike my fancy, and I could say, well, now, I really think it means this. Just like when
true.
You say Enoch wants 300 years, I say to you, well, wait a minute. It may be only 3 days. You know, we don't know what the time spans were and so forth. So, you know, there's this gray matter. It isn't that I'm down on Bible, but I don't think there's much to be gained by people calling up and quoting it, because it causes the confusion, and that multiplicity of interpretation gets us nowhere. Would you agree with that?
I agree with a lot of things you said there, Bob. Here's the only error that I see. See, the Bible says that the scriptures are of no private interpretation, for they were written as men were moved by the Holy Spirit, and thus they must be interpreted the same.
Well, you better tell that to a whole bunch of your followers in different churches, because they're all in interpreting it a different way.
That's true.
Exactly. All right, our number is 897-7270 or toll-free 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Bob Mohan. You're listening to Sound Off. It's 10:41. We'll be right back. Thank you, Greg. Our number again, let me remind you, is 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Let's go to our long-distance line. Good evening. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Alabama.
All right.
I want to talk to Bob and Reverend Pike.
Go ahead.
Reverend Pike, recently a man was shot in the head, and they were declared brain dead. In the meantime, they took his organs out. I don't want to know what you think about that. You need to get the organs fresh if you're going to transplant them.
Well, I'm not really here, you know, to give advice as to those things.
That is not a religious matter, is it, if they take his organs at his request to transplant?
Very definitely not, Bob.
Okay, well, then let's move on to another call. Another long-distance line. Hello there. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Waynesville, Missouri.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, Bob, this is Bob, right?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I've never listened to your program before, and just by happenstance happened to turn it on and listen. And the question originally is a question of immortality, right? Life after death.
Yes.
Well, a couple of the things that really bother me about the Reverend Pike is that he argues from a position that suggests everybody just tacitly accepts the Bible as God's supreme revelation to man and does not take the argument where it can be profitable to the streets. I think, you know, Bob, you said it well when you said scriptural interpretations run, you know, you can get into a quagmire over the untold scores of interpretations.
Yes.
And to me, the issue is not a matter of interpreting the Bible. The issue is a philosophical matter for which Christians have some viewpoints and atheists have others and everybody else in between. And one of the things Reverend Pike really bothers me is he argues from a kind of subjective bubble. No one can penetrate his discussion on the matter because he's already got the supreme revelation from God, and I've found it to be real unprofitable for folk who, argue from that kind of position. You can't penetrate them on a discussion level. One of the things that really bothers me is the fact that he assumes that his view of the scriptures, is the infallible interpretation of scripture. Well, I happen to grow up in a Southern Baptist tradition, and in that tradition, I'm castigated now by my peers and my church background and so forth. And it's really difficult for me to try to focus on Christian issues now because one of the things I heard you say earlier was that it seemed that you lumped other Christians all in the same category with his position. And, you know, there are a lot of Christians who go back to Genesis and read things like the Methuselah thing and take that as mythical in nature. That doesn't mean that we think it's any less true, but we think it's true on a different level. I hope that makes some sense.
Yeah, and I appreciate your call all the way from Missouri. You know, I had a colleague, and I won't mention his name, but he heard me one night say, in response to a letter to me, a woman got upset with my stand on prayer in school, and she wrote a simple letter, said, "Dear Mr. Mohan, do you believe in God?" And I answered her. I said, "Yes, I believe in God. I just don't have any use for religion." Okay? Now, that may sound as a contradiction to you. Because it really is beyond my capability to keep up with all these religions, okay? I cannot keep up with Catholics killing Protestants, Muslim Shiites killing Druze, Druze killing Jews, Egyptian Arabs killing... everybody's killing everybody in the name of religion, you see. Now, I can believe in a supreme being, an omnipotent force that creates the world, but I just don't have any time for all of this falderall, Reverend Pike. And I think that's probably my problem, okay? And that's why I have a hard time understanding you when you say, "Hey, it's been relieved to me that I'm going to live forever." I say, "Hey, come on. You're going to die just like the rest of us. Eventually, someday."
I tell you what, I wholeheartedly endorse what you said because that's right. See, the Bible speaks of a true and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions and then to keep ourselves unspotted from the world.
Yeah, but say that to the people who follow Islam. You see, because they feel the same way, that they are the anointed ones. They are the ones who are the true religion. And the Catholics feel that is the only true church. The Baptists get mad at the Catholics because they feel that way. And then the Jews get mad because they're the chosen people. And the Palestinians believe that. Yeah, I mean, it's just an endless circle, Reverend Pike. Wouldn't you agree?
The only thing is, Bob, I just have returned from India, And our operation takes us around the world, and we just have had Islams convicted and converted, and we've just had Mohammedans converted, and our ministry shook Bombay.
It shook it?
Yes.
Did it shake it to the point, Reverend Pike, that you will get people who are basically starving to death in England or in India to slaughter some of the cattle that are roaming at will over there that could feed them and provide them with protein, but because of their religious belief, they don't do it? Did you convince them of that?
There were people that were convinced, fully convinced. As a matter of fact, there were people that followed us to the mission, and so many people that all day long, practically, we had to talk to these people and instruct these people, because they were greatly moved. And even since we have left Bombay, the letters that are coming in from Bombay say that they're having a tremendous move of God still from our meeting.
And you're swaying them away from their particular religious belief, then?
Well, we're trying to see, the Bible teaches we're set for the defense of the truth, not necessarily religious.
Well, we could go on and on. I really could. I'd love to spar with you, but we have to go to our callers. 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Good evening. You're on Sound Off.
Hey, is that me?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I got to have this one. Mr. Pike.
Yes, sir?
I've noticed you seem rather vague when you quote scripture. I've noticed, I've listened since the beginning, you've not yet given a scripture reference, and it seems that you just kind of pick a lot of sloganism and phraseology. That's an opinion. Earlier you made a statement, you said, you're speaking of your angelic visit.
Yes, sir.
You made a statement that, I think I'm quoting you now, as a rule, when people are visited by an angel, they're helpless and can't move. Is that a pretty accurate quote?
No, sir. They are different accounts where in numbers of places.
But you made a statement, as a rule. I wrote it down here. I have it in front of me. You said, as a rule.
As a rule, when angels come present with people, they don't do any talking. They just listen.
That wasn't true in Mary's case, though, was it?
It was true to this extent. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she had a divine conception.
But you've not answered my question. As I read the scriptural account, Mary had an extended conversation, did a great deal of speaking. Is that not true, or is that...
Sir, if you remember, I said that in most cases, if you'll check the Bible, I also said that in some cases, it is not that way.
And
when Manoah was visited, it was not that way.
But you've still not answered my question. Was it that way in Mary's case?
In Mary's case, she communicated with God.
How about now? Let me ask you about another one. Abraham was sitting in front of his tent. Two angels came to him. Do you remember this?
Very definitely.
Okay.
Seems that you're a good Bible scholar.
So,
the oak of Mamre.
So perhaps your statement, as a rule, may not be an accurate statement. Is that correct?
That as a rule?
Yes.
I'm not saying as a rule.
But you did say it earlier.
Yes, that's right. I'm not changing. I'm not changing that statement. As a rule, if you'll check through the Bible, you'll find out when angels come, that people don't have communication until after they are anointed of God or receive strength to communicate, as was the case of Daniel.
Okay, let's move on to the next point. Socrates said, if you would communicate with me, define your terminology. Let me ask you this. You say you plan to live forever. Now, you have not yet defined, do you plan that your body will or your body will not go through a grave experience?
The body will go through a change. This is what the mystery spoke of.
But you haven't answered my question.
All right, what is your question?
Will your body go through a death and grave in the earth experience?
The body of this chain shall definitely not go through the grave. It will bypass the grave altogether.
Okay. Do you have a Bible there in front of you?
Yes, sir.
Would you turn to Hebrews 9:27 and give me your outward... See, so far I haven't seen you really... I heard you just throw a lot of phraseology around.
While he's looking for that, what is it you're implying, or what point are you driving home?
It says, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. And apparently he says that his revelation is in disagreement with this, and I'm wondering if that's true, if that's what he's saying.
Sir, I wish we had the time to comment. I would love to say just one or two things, if you'll allow me to.
Okay,
first of all, you know, there's been a number of calls come in that seem to be in the same neighborhood of thought.
But you haven't answered, Mike. We're talking about Hebrews 9:27.
Okay.
Appears to say, is appointed unto men once to die.
I'm going to give you a direct answer.
Okay, I'd appreciate that.
The Bible teaches line upon line, And,
But see, there you're quoting things again.
No, beg your pardon. Uh-huh. I'm going to give you a direct answer. Uh-huh. See, the Bible also states that God, at a time accepted, succored man, and that he looked down and he heard the groaning of the prisoners, and he loosed them that was appointed unto death.
I have to agree with the caller. You resort to an interpretation of the Bible, and you're bypassing his specific question.
Simple question, and you have not even approached an answer. That is phony, my friend. Now, what does Hebrews 9:27 mean to you? It's only 2.5 lines long. Why would you need a 5-minute answer? Why can you not give me a simple, direct answer?
Sir, you're doing most of the talking.
No, go ahead.
All right. You say it's in Hebrews where?
9:27.
Okay, let's look at it right quickly.
I could do a tap dance or a song, but I don't think that would be appropriate.
Well, I will.
9:27?
Yes.
We are generating, by the way, while he's looking for that, we are generating a number of calls. And again, we may slip past NBC News to accommodate all of the calls, if that's all right with the Reverend Pike. Seems to me there's enough people here to, okay, go ahead.
Okay, it does say, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, first of all, it does say that man has to die. That is the appointment. But the thing that you're overlooking is the Bible does not teach there is an appointment unto sons of God to die. It says unto man. It is appointed unto man once to die, which puts this on the other side of Calvary and under the law, or on this side of Calvary if you're not born again, in that you're still under the law. Therefore, it is very evident that Enoch escaped death because he was not under the law. It is also very evident that we have the same privilege after Calvary, and that the law has been folded up and laid away, that we ourselves also can escape death.
Does that answer your question?
No, it does not.
Okay, I think we're going to have to move on with that. Our number is 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Good evening. You're on Sound Off.
Yep. You got a good one going tonight.
I think so.
But first, he said he was in India, and... Now, I spent a little time over there, and I know for a certain fact that they believe in reincarnation.
It's true.
What is your point, sir?
And he speaks of man not dying. And it speaks of man shall go to Hades. Somewhere in the Bible. Pardon me. I've got something in the throat.
Sir, I really... Can you get to the point, please? And quit expectorating?
Well, I just can't see you.
I know. You're having a hard time verbalizing here. Hello there. You're on Sound Off.
Bob.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask Reverend Pike one question. He talks about this earth is going to abide forever. Old in Revelation, as I understand it, John had a vision from God himself and said that there would be a new earth and a new heaven. And if that's the case... I'd like to know what his feeling is about this earth as we know it now.
All right, if you will, listen on your radio, and that'll probably wrap it up for this hour.
Okay, Bob, so far as the new earth, first of all, this present earth will pass away in the sense that there will be a renovation. And then the earth coming will not be the new earth. It will be the restored earth, whereas God will restore all the lost species from the ages and times. Once it is restored, he will glorify it to the translation of bringing in the new earth. This is the glorified earth. And that way, nothing will be lost of all of his creation throughout eternity.
And you're going to be here to see all of that?
Yes, sir.
You really believe that?
Definitely.
And how long do you think it's going to be before this happens? They
tell
renew
what,
the
Bob,
earth and everything.
So far as telling you the day and the hour, the Bible teaches that we don't know that, but we know that when it's closed, even at the door, and it's getting pretty close.
Maybe you don't have a specific date, though.
Not a specific date, don't say.
Yeah, because I'd like to know whether I have to... Greg and I are both a little bit worried about that. It's not going to be in the next hour or so, is it?
Well, it could be.
Could
most
be.
Likely,
huh?
Won't.
All right. Okay, we're going to review, and... Reverend Pike, you have condescended to stay over after the news for a little while because
yes.
We do have a number of callers. In review, we're talking to a man who believes he is going to live forever. He was chosen, and he was notified through some revelation, a mystery. And we leave it up to you as to whether you believe this or not. And if you have questions or comments, Please do so, because if you don't, I will, and then I'll get in a whole bunch of trouble with people if I do that. So give us a call, 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. For those of you who are listening on your phone lines right now, please be patient. We'll be back right after NBC News, and we'll pick up from there. So don't go away. Let's go on to another one. Good evening. You're on Sound Off.
Yes, sir. I'd like to ask the Reverend. All my life I've been sitting here listening to him, and he's talking about the Bible and everything. What if we related to our specific scientific knowledge that we have now in this present 20th century? Because he was talking about how the Earth is going to be, like, replenished. Well, our sun is a medium star. And they say that when its core collapses, it will expand. And the Van Allen belt that protects us from the sun's rays will just evaporate. And Mars, Venus, and Earth will become engulfed and inflamed as part of the sun. Then what would happen?
That's a very good question. I suppose that is a scientific evaluation of the end of the world. Is that what you're referring to?
Mr. Mohan.
Yeah, right.
Sun has three stages. It's a giant.
I know, but what you're saying is
is when the core collapses, it's going to expand, and all the planets, all the first three planets are going to evaporate into gases.
Okay, let's ask the Reverend what his answer to that is. The world has been predicted, even in the Bible, if I'm correct, that it's going to end in fire and flames.
It didn't,
okay.
Bob.
So maybe the scientific questions that he's bringing up right now, that it will be a tremendous explosion or implosion or what have you, how does that square with your feeling that you're going to live forever, and if it does end, you know, you're going to have a hard time living on a planet that's going to collapse or blow up or something?
Okay, let me say one thing here, and I hope this is not misinterpreted. First of all, Paul the great revelator referred to science, the word meaning knowledge, of course. He refers to it as science, falsely so-called, which means there is a superior knowledge somewhere that excels this. But inasmuch as there is a definite definition to what you're saying in the sense of the heavens being on fire, the Bible very definitely speaks of it, as in the end of the world, seeing that the very elements shall be on fire, that the earth will be dissolved with fervent heat. But it also tells us that the earth will not perish, though it does perish, as it is said, concerning the old world, with Noah when it perished by water. Yet the Bible teaches that the earth is still standing. So when we speak of a world, we speak of a system. When we speak of the earth, we speak of something altogether different. And the elements being on fire will not have anything to do with doing away with God's creation. If you remember, scientists tells us that we can change the form of matter. We can cause it to dissolve or go back to its original elements. But they've learned that not anything of it can perish.
All right, 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Good evening, you're on Sound Off.
Hello, I would like to say, if the Reverend do believe in God, and what he is trying to say, I do believe, is that, okay, first of all, we are all mortals, right?
Right.
Okay, the first death is that mortals will die. Okay, but we all do not have to die, meaning that, okay, if Jesus Christ should come right now, the end of the world today, I'm living, you living, okay? But at the twinkle of an eye, we will all be changed from mortals to immortals.
That's
and I
correct.
Think that is what you mean, right?
No.
Okay.
That isn't what he means.
But
no.
If he does not mean that, I do not agree. But by the Bible, if that's what he means, I can understand that. Because if God should come right now, we are all are living now as mortals. And as twinkle of an eye, we could escape the death of the grave. And we can be changed to immortals.
Okay.
All right, if you will, listen on your radio and free up another line here for us.
What you're saying is true. The only thing is, if you go back to Enoch, see, Enoch was not living in our day, but the Bible said that he was translated by faith that he should not see death.
I really admire you, Reverend Pike, that you can honestly come on radio and tell people that you're going to live forever. And I would imagine that the entourage that you have with you tonight, some 15 or 16 people, could they be construed as disciples of your particular philosophy? Or are they also going to live forever?
They definitely believe with all their heart, Bob.
They're all going to live forever. And two of them are in here and they're shaking their head. Yeah, they're going to live forever. You really want to live forever? You want to live forever?
Well, I think that'd be pretty rough. I mean, 900 years old. I'm not feeling too good right now. Yeah, 900 years from now, it's going to be a lot worse. Oh, man. I'm telling you what, I have learned a lot today. Good evening. You're on Sound Off.
Hello, Bob.
Yeah.
You're so right. But listen, if we're going to live forever, what about our Social Security?
I knew somebody with a real practical objection would call tonight.
Yeah, well, I'll be in pension. That's what I'm living on now.
You will definitely outlive your Social Security benefits, sir, quite clearly, if you believe in this.
I better get out and get me a permanent job.
You better. A permanent job, an everlasting job. Good evening. You're on Sound Off.
Yeah, you say Mr. Reverend Pike believes in living forever.
Yeah.
I disagree with him because the Lord, you know, he said he's going to come and take us back with him, and then he's going to destroy the earth.
That's...
If he destroyed the earth, that means everything on it would be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We've already pretty much covered that. Let's see if we can get a new, fresh approach to this thing. 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And we'll take a long-distance line right now. Good evening. You're on Sound Off. Where are you calling from?
King, North Carolina.
All right.
I was listening to him talk about his visit from the angel above and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to kind of paraphrase verses that I want to.
Please do.
In Revelation 22nd chapter, it says that if any man add to or take away from the book of this prophecy, he shall have his name cast out. And also, the Bible says that if even if an angel comes down and talks with you, you're not to listen to him. And so how can he get all excited about an angel visiting him when it goes contrary to what the Bible says?
All right. Do you have any reply to that, Reverend Pike?
Yes, sir. First of all, he doesn't clearly understand what the Bible says, because the Bible tells us in Revelation that if any man add unto this book, the plagues of this book shall be added unto him. If any man take away from this book, his part shall be taken out of the book of life. And it definitely does not say anything about not believing angels. Angels are messengers for God, and many men have believed angels, but it tells us that if anybody comes with any other teaching, Paul said, this teaching that I've taught you, if anybody comes with any other teachings other than what I've taught you, even though he be an angel, let him be accursed.
Does it bother you that maybe somebody like myself, and I don't know how you would classify me other than just a belligerent talk show host, but if I sat down some Sunday morning and was going through the obituaries and I saw Reverend George Pike in there, would that really irritate you?
If you referred to
yeah,
me...
Yeah, if I read about your death in the obituary, I mean, that would be counter, and all of your believers and all of your followers would say, hey, something's wrong here. We may have made a miscalculation, because I think the majority of our listeners right now, Reverend Pike, are pretty much convinced, based on the historical fact, that everybody's going to die at one time or another. And you come on and say, no, you're going to live forever, and everybody in this room and other rooms are saying that, yeah, we're going to live forever. I'm just very curious to know what your followers would say if they read about your death in the newspaper.
I tell you what, I wish we had time to really talk about some things, but if I introduced some things here tonight, we'd be all night.
Uh-huh.
See, Paul elaborate one night, all night long.
Well, and, see, I go off the air at midnight, so we have to, we're kind of locked into the calls here. If you could succinctly answer that, or if somebody could just imagine you dying, what would that do to everybody?
Bob, let me ask you a question. What would you say, or how would you judge it, if I said to you that if they come in here tonight, if you had a heart attack, and say that you was a Christian and you're born again, they come in and they take you, they put you in the casket.
Mm-hmm.
They take you away. Now, what would you say to this if I said, well, if I turned to Greg and I said, Greg, Bob's not dead, Bob's sleeping.
Oh, he'd know better. He'd know better, because there are medical tests to show that I would be brain dead, that the heart is not functioning, that there is nothing functioning in the body, and I would be clinically, unequivocally dead.
That's true.
But and as they say in The Wizard of Oz, undeniably dead.
See, but then again, see, we see where Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus. Just before approaching the tomb, they asked him what he was about to do. He said, Lazarus sleepeth, I go to awake him. I've completely, in every way, brought you the scripture, brought you the word, and could explain very thoroughly the sleep and what the Bible refers to as the second death. See if we had time to comment on it.
Well, I might give you that time. I might give you that time sometime, Reverend Pike, but I tell you what, I would be arguing and I would be scratching and screaming the whole time because I have seen death. I have seen it undeniably. And I defy anybody to walk up to a dead body and say, arise, and see it get up and walk away. I would say that without any challenge from anybody listening to me right now. It's 11:22. We'll be right back to our callers right after this. Back to you, because this is heavyweight. You want me to start at what number, Mr. Pichano?
Let's start at number 5 and work on it.
All right. Good evening. You're on Sound Off.
Yes, Bob?
Yes.
I wanted to share with Mr. Pike a religious experience that I had in Hialeah last Saturday.
What was that, sir?
I saw the devil run.
The devil run?
Yes.
You lost money, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And you think that was something really significant to share with us. Hello there. You're on Sound Off.
Hi, Bob. How
yeah,
you doing?
Fine.
First of all, I've heard from my wife. She's listening to the phone. She said that there was somebody who came on and talked about being born again. Am I correct?
Born again?
Right.
Well, that word has been bandied about a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me clarify one thing. I want to tell Mr. Pike, first of all, the Bible does say that we have to be born again to see God. That's the first priority. And first of all, we haven't heard that out of anybody tonight. Second of all, I think Mr. Pike is just pumped up in his own pride. I think he's here just to stir a lot of confusion and bring a lot of fear into people's hearts. First of all, Mr. Pike, I want to direct this personally to you that our number one objective and our number one goal here is to evangelize the world. You are not doing that, sir. You are evangelizing to yourself and not to Christ. We've got to evangelize the world. That is our only hope at this point. You can't do anything apart from Christ. All right. What you are doing is bringing merely fear and confusion in the minds and hearts of a lot of people. All right. And that is not the way to go. All right. That is not the scriptural way to do it. You're talking about angels here. Stick to the gospel. Stick to the doctrine of Christ. All right, a lot of people are hearing this. I've got enough Bible knowledge to put anybody simply in the position.
Let me ask the caller a question. Would this be interpreted loosely as a false prophet?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He's not scriptural. All right, he's not. I don't know where he's basing his facts on. He says he's basing it on the Bible. What we're talking about here is a lot of pride, a lot of puffed upness, and simply that won't get you anywhere. Talk of mystified. Let me tell you to do something. Talk about Christ. Bring this whole conversation around the personage of Jesus Christ and evangelize. If you're going to do something over the phone, and if you're going to do something over the airwaves, evangelize. Don't do what you're doing now.
All right.
You're speaking a lot of junk. Just flat out junk.
Do you have any response to that, Reverend Pike?
Yes, sir. You'd let me comment.
Sure, go ahead.
First of all, Brother Bob, we definitely feel that you must be born again. Unless a man's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And second there, the gentleman speaks of us needing to do something for God. We are on a station all over the United States and heard 5 days a week. We are on another station that's potentially heard by more than 332 million people. We are on another station that is a shortwave station that's potentially covering the 4 billion people or more that's in the world today. Our message is in more than every language of the world, and we're constantly on the field.
I think your message is dangerous, Reverend Pike. I don't mean to interrupt, but I think it's dangerous from this standpoint. A young man sitting over here before the news or before the commercial break, in response to my scenario, that if you died and you were dead for 3 or 4 days, that he would walk up to you and ask you to arise, all right? I think that's dangerous. Because I think that makes that young man Christ-like, and he could not respond to my challenge by changing Greg Pichano's Coca-Cola from Coke to coffee or water. If he thinks he's Christ-like, why doesn't he do things like that? How can he presume to raise you from the dead?
Okay, let me comment, Bob.
All right.
First of all, see, I didn't teach that young man that, nor did I tell him to say that. That was his own thoughts.
All right.
See now. Whatever he believes, if he believes it, the Bible says according to his faith. I teach the things that we have said here tonight, soberly, to all of our congregation, to you. Whatever the comments are, aside from that, I have nothing to say one way or another about it.
All right, 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Good evening, you're on Sound Off. Turn your radio down. I'm sorry. Hello there, you're on Sound Off.
Yes, I was wondering, I may have missed the first part of this program, but why does the... Hello?
Yes, you're on. Go ahead.
Yes, why does the minister believe this? I missed the first part of the program. What, why does he want to believe this theory that he will live forever?
It was revealed to him by an angel and Jesus. Okay, you're listening on your radio and it's confusing you, so would you like to amplify on that? Isn't that true? That's accurate?
That's true. You answered.
In Hialeah, Florida, you were
visited to me by Christ.
That you are going to live forever.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go to another caller. Hello there, you're on Sound Off.
Yeah, Bob.
Uh-huh.
Tell you what, I enjoy your program, and as for Mr. Pike, I wouldn't even degrade the word by calling him a reverend.
You obviously have some issue you want to take with him.
Yes, sir. I think he's a asinine fool. Number one, I spent 13 months in Vietnam. And him and his followers can believe what they want to. But I've seen a lot of dead bodies come out of there. And if you can pray and you bring somebody back from the dead, we all would have done it and brought them back. I don't know where he's coming from.
And well, basically, your bottom line is you discount the entire concept, obviously.
Definitely.
All right, sir. Thank you for your call. Let's go to our long-distance line. Good evening. You're in Sound Off.
Yes. I'd like to share with Mr. Pike some biblical evidences here that go contrary to what he has to say. The Bible is more authority than any revelation that he has supposedly received. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about Christians, and verses 13 through 18 talk about the rapture, which deals with Christ returning for his church. And the point is here that the Thessalonians were all scared and upset that they had missed this. In verse 14 it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them who sleep," and this word sleep doesn't mean to just being in some unconscious state, it means being dead, "in Jesus Christ will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep," meaning those who are dead. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Christians are dead, and those who are dead at the return of Christ will be raised from the grave according to what the Word of God says. And so what he says goes against the Word of God. And you look throughout the Bible and it says so-and-so lived so many years and he died. So-and-so lived so many years and he died. So-and-so lived so many years and he died.
Yes, but he believes that, is it eunuch?
My point is that, yeah, he's using fancy words and he's twisting scripture and he says that Enoch by faith. No, it says Enoch walked with the Lord, and he was gone.
But he maintains that Enoch is still alive.
Well, not in the sense of being here on earth. He's with the Lord in heaven, but he's not here on earth. Every true believer that dies is with the Lord, not his body, but his spirit. Enoch was a unique case because the Bible says he was translated, but he's not here on earth. He's with the Lord in heaven. That's totally different than what Mr. Pike is talking about.
Okay, let's let him respond to that. Obviously, there's a number of people who are comfortable with scriptures to take issue with you, Reverend Pike. Obviously, there's probably a lot more than just manifesting themselves on this radio show. Your basic Christian community believes that there will be a life hereafter for everlasting, and there will be a final judgment, and this is running counter to what you're saying. You feel... Or I get the impression that you feel like you've been singled out and that you're conveying this to other people, that you're something unique and different than the run-of-the-mill Christian.
No, Bob. It is a true fact that we're just one other fellow, that's all. God is no respect of person. The gentleman that was speaking here said some good things in his scripture. But it is amazing, Bob, how quick people want to accuse and that they do not properly evaluate. In the first place, God is love, and their very attitude proves that they are missing the great Spirit of God and the great revelation that was intended for them. Whereas knowledge puffeth up in charity edified, there's a world of difference. And so far as the thing that the gentleman said, Enoch very definitely did take his body. So did Elijah take his body. And so did Moses, who supposedly is to be buried, appeared in glory. course, that introduces another subject and would be a great dispute. But Moses also is preserved.
All right. Preserved where?
In glory. God has called us unto glory and unto virtue. And may I say one more thing, Bob? The gentleman speaks of the rapture, saying that I misquote the Bible. He misquotes the Bible because there is no such word as the rapture or terms used in that way. It says from glory to glory, a change.
All right, we'll go to another long-distance line. Good evening. You're on Sound Off. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lawrenceburg, Tennessee.
All right.
This is Reverend Dr. Thomas J. Glenn from Detroit. I'm down here visiting. This is the first time I've caught your program.
Uh-huh.
And I want to agree with Reverend Pike. Only thing that it's been misunderstood is that when you die, your body is dead, but your spirit goes direct.
Sir, you're missing the point. He concedes that, but he's gonna live forever. His corporal body.
I agree with him. I'm gonna live forever too. It's not just him.
You're gonna live forever.
Yeah, I'm gonna live forever too. It's not just him who had ever been born again.
No, I think you're still missing the point. He's talking about his physical body will live forever.
No, his physical body will not live forever. His physical body will die.
All right, well...
But
His spirit will...
His spirit will live forever with Jesus.
But, Reverend, listen to me carefully. He maintains that his body is going to live forever.
His
Do you understand?
His body's going to die just like everybody's body. Unless he be caught up.
I love it.
Listen 1 minute.
All right.
Listen to a first... Thessalonians, 4th chapter, and the 13th verse. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them that are asleep, that are sorry and others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which is asleep is Jesus with God bring with him. Now, this sleep means death.
Yeah.
For this we have said unto you by the word of the Lord, that unto coming of the Lord shall not prevent them from which is sleep.
Okay, sir, I think you can cut that short and paraphrase it, and everybody that's been calling our radio station tonight agrees with you.
Yeah, but his body gonna die unless and Jesus come for the church.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus called the church out of the earth, then all our bodies that will live will be changed. Let me finish this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of the Lord, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
All right, let me ask you a question, Reverend. In a word, what would you say to this man, knowing what you know now? Face to face, what would you say to him?
I would just say he'll probably right, but he's missing screwed the Bible.
Uh-huh.
He's taking the word, some of the word out of context. See, Reverend Pike is not fully, undoubtedly, he's not fully have the information of the scripture. Now, your body gonna die, but the spirit gonna live forever with Jesus.
Well, see, he disagrees with that, Reverend.
Well, he disagrees with the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm a student of the Bible for years.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
And it says those which will live, wait a minute, for the Lord himself to descend from heaven. I'm reading here. The voice of archangels and the trumpet of the Lord, and the dead shall rise. Dead in Christ shall rise first.
Right, right.
Then we who are alive shall remain and be caught up together with them in the clouds.
Right.
Meet the Lord in the air.
Right.
And so shall we live with the Lord forever.
Right.
You see?
That's basically what everybody has been saying tonight.
What he is saying, he's not going to live in that same body, because when Jesus comes, a body going to be changed. Everybody's body going to be changed.
It sure does.
That's what's going to be born again. Now.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be born again. If you're not born again, you're in hell. Ain't no doubt about it.
Uh-huh.
See?
Okay, I appreciate your long-distance call. Let's go to another one. Hello there. You're on Sound Off.
Hello, Bob.
Yes.
Look here. I'm probably going to have pneumonia, you know. Of course, my radio is in my bedroom, and I had to come to the den to the phone.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to hold you responsible. But this young gentleman from Vietnam that just called a few calls ago,
mm-hmm.
Now, I agree with that 100%. My God, I saw so many of the cream of our country get slaughtered. And my God, we prayed for everything we could to last just another few minutes. And most of them didn't make it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if this guy can live forever, he must have been drinking that bark that I'm drinking now, for my legs being missed.
Well, he was drinking milk in the studio, sir. I would hardly suspect that he drinks anything much harder than that, and I think that's a fair assumption, isn't it, Reverend Pike?
Yes, sir.
So we can't say that this was the result of some drunken stupor. You believe fervently in your heart,
yes, sir,
that you were visited by an angel and Jesus Christ,
amen,
and that you have been tapped to live forever.
Yes, sir.
And you have imparted this same thing on to your followers, is that
those
correct?
Those that believe.
So all you have to do is believe, then I could possibly live forever. Is that correct?
If I had time, Bob, to go into the thing with people, it would take hours. But the detail, the explicitness of it, to let them understand. See, you cannot believe that you have never heard.
I don't believe that people could take Mohan for 900 years.
I want to know if the Reverend is saying that he, in his present form, is going to live forever on this earth.
Is that what you mean, Reverend Pike?
I explained that the body must go through a change.
Well, what sort of body then would you have?
The Bible teaches that it is sown a corruptible, it is raised an incorruptible.
That is,
it is changed from a terrestrial to a celestial.
Well, I'll ask you this. What type of body would that be that you would have when it is changed?
Okay.
Similar to what you have now?
This is what Paul says, and I speak from the Scriptures. Paul, speaking to the people, said, "Thou fool, said, know ye not that whatsoever body or type of body that God desires to give it, when it comes forth, that is up to him."
All right, let me ask two other questions. How about those people who have died, who are dead, who were Christians? Will they go to a heaven?
Those people that sleep in Christ, Christ shall also bring with him. This has been quoted again and again, which is very definitely scripture. See, they very definitely will come with the Lord. Revelation 19, he'll come forth on the white horse. And those that are awakened or those that are hid with him in Christ shall come forth back to this present earth.
One other question. About those who are Christians on this earth who know each other,
yes, sir,
and die, will they in their spirit know each other?
The Bible teaches that death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. And this is, of course, where we have to differentiate between sleep and death, which we don't have time to comment on those things. I wish we did.
I have to say I admire your unfaltering faith, Reverend Pike. I really do. I think I would probably have a very hard time understanding this, even if you devoted 2 weeks to me, because I guess I'm just very, very pragmatic. But let's not worry about me. Let's go on to our callers. 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Good evening. You're on Sound Off.
Yes, this is Brother Thomas Carnes out in Conyers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to say hello to Brother Pike.
Hello, Tom.
And I'd also like to say that I agree with Brother Pike. And people that call in and have said some of the things that they said concerning Brother Pike, that they wouldn't call him Reverend and things like that, I believe you ought to be ashamed of that kind of attitude. And let me say this concerning the Scriptures. The Bible says, Paul speaking, that we are those that believe to see, not those that see to believe. In other words, we don't have to see something in the natural before we believe it. In other words, we believe it first, and by our believing, that brings it to pass, and then we see it. It's like when we receive our healing. Now, one person that called in made the statement about people raising the dead. There was a prophet that was sent this latter day by God, the name of Brother William Branham. Down in Mexico, there was a little Mexican woman that brought her baby, died 9 o'clock that morning. This is by doctor's report. And died in the doctor's office 9 o'clock that morning. At 10 o'clock that night, they got that little baby to Brother Branham. God showed Brother Branham a vision, just like he showed Elijah in the Scriptures and all. And by that vision, Brother Branham told him to bring the little woman to him. He took the little baby in his arms and prayed for the little baby, and the little baby came back to life. And let me just mention a couple others. I'm talking kind of fast because of time. Incidentally, Brother Branham preached around the world 7 times, and he prayed for King George of England that had multiple sclerosis. He prayed for Congressman Upshaw in the state of Georgia that had been crippled for 60-some years, and God miraculously healed the congressman, and the congressman went and stood on the stairs of the White House in Washington, D.C., and sang "Lean on Every Lasting Arm." And anyhow, when Brother Branham was on his way to London to pray for King George of England, they met him at the airport with Florence Nightingale, the great-granddaughter of the Florence Nightingale that founded the Red Cross. Brother Branham prayed for her. She weighed less than 65 pounds, stood 5 feet 8 inches tall, was just like a bone. And he rose up on his feet and said, "Thus saith the Lord, she'll live and not die." 8 months later, she's
good, strong, and healthy, weighed 150 pounds.
I don't have any argument with faith healing, sir. I really don't. And as a matter of fact, I believe there are more things contained in a lot of people's philosophies than are found anywhere in heaven and earth. I believe that if you think hard and long enough, a positive thinking, that you can probably cure yourself of many ills. But I still have to debunk a child born dead for 8 or 9 hours coming back to life. I just have to simply reject that. I can't accept that. 897-7270 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Good evening. You're on sound off. Can you speak up, please?
I have a question. If you believe that this earth will be destroyed.
Okay, if you will listen on your radio. Reverend Pike, do you believe this earth is going to be destroyed? You apparently do.
Very definitely.
All right. Let's go to another caller. Hello there. You're on sound off.
Hello, Bob.
Yeah.
I got a question. I'm a minister from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I got a short scripture. I want the Reverend to explain this one to me.
If you would, speak up, please.
Okay, it's Hebrews 9:27. It says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment."
Yeah, we've already had that quote presented to him, and...
How did he explain that one?
Well, according to the caller, he didn't.
I mean, how can the Reverend, can he explain that one?
Again, Reverend Pike, Hebrews 9 through 18, I believe it was, or 24?
9:27.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that to this caller?
Yes, sir. The Bible teaches that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Christ Jesus met that appointment at Calvary, and the Bible said, "Therefore, to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto Christ." That is, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And the Bible said that God heard, looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and loosed those that were appointed unto death. And this, of course, you might add to that. It is appointed unto man once to die, but when a man is born again, he is a son of God. He is not a mortal. He is called a quickening spirit, and it is not appointed unto sons of God to die.
I think... Basically, you know, Reverend, that you're misquoting the scriptures, and I think, you know, and I agree with Bob. I just can't buy that. You know, I just can't buy what you're saying.
Okay, sir, you're fading out on this. We'll take that as your opinion. Hello there, you're on sound off.
Yes, sir, Bob. This is the second time I've called, and I have to agree. You've got some weird things going on, but I'd like to ask Reverend Pike some questions.
All right.
Number one. Reverend Pike, in my Bible, Paul says to try the spirit.
Yes, sir.
Okay. There is two kinds of spirits that is in this world. There's the devil's angels and also God's angels. Did you try your spirit?
The only way, sir, that you can try a spirit is by the word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word came forth, put on flesh, and dwelt among us. And the Bible teaches that we are to try the spirits by the Word.
Hello there, you're on sound off.
Okay. Can I go ahead and talk?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're on the air.
Okay, I just want to say that I did not hear the first of the program. Someone just told me it was on, and I started listening to it. But what I want to say about most of the people that I have heard that called in, and other than the Reverend there, 1 Corinthians says that the carnal mind, or the natural man, cannot understand the spiritual things of God. And I think if you're not born again and born of the Spirit, you cannot understand what some of the things he has been saying. And can you, Bob, tell me what the word eternal means?
Well, in my estimation, it means a long, long time.
Does it not mean forever?
Yeah, that's a long, long time, isn't it?
Did we not have eternal life with Jesus?
Well, we believe that in the Christian belief that once you leave this mortal body, that you live and dwell for eternity in Christ.
Well, I just want to tell you that I'm born again, and I am going to live
forever
until Jesus comes. And then he tells me I will be changed. Proverbs 18:21
mm-hmm.
tells me that life and death is in the power of the tongue. The people that's calling in that wants to die, then they can die if that's what they want.
Uh-huh. You know, but you're going to live forever.
I'm going to live forever with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, you know, there is salvation, but everybody don't accept Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There is healing, but everybody don't accept their healing.
Mm-hmm.
See, Jesus paid it all on the cross.
Yeah.
He died for our salvation, for our healing, and for our prosperity, and for the chastisement of peace. Now, this is, you know, that's
okay.
The scripture. But anyway, what I want to say, Proverbs 18 says, life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Boy, I tell you. You people really have a word for everything. You can quote scripture, line, sentence, every comma, and it means absolutely nothing to a lot of people because you can interpret any doggone way you want to. Any way you want to. Isn't that right?
A man can interpret, Bob, but as you know, it can be misinterpreted, as I say it.
It's 11:50. I'm Bob Mohan. You're listening to Sound Off. I'll be right back. Greg, would you go ahead and repeat that, Reverend Pike, because you have made my day, because a lot of people really take me to task. But I think it might be nice if you tell our listening audience what you tell them about me.
I sure will, Bob. I think a lot of people have misunderstood you, and they misconstrued the whole thing, because in talking to you and having a general discussion with you, I found out that though you're very frank, very forward, which I appreciate, yet deep inside you are convicted in Christ, and you just don't believe in a lot of foolishness that people carry on.
I don't believe in people caressing rattlesnakes and trying to walk
either.
On water across the Chattahoochee River, and I don't believe that somebody can change Coca-Cola into coffee, but I do believe there's something out there that keeps all this stuff working together, Reverend Pike. There's something out there. But you see, I draw the line at a certain point, and I hope I'm forgiven that particular weakness in my makeup. I really do. All right, let's wrap this thing up and get some more callers in here. Good evening. You're on Sound Off.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
You just said you draw the line at a certain point. And I want to know why it's so difficult to believe that a little girl could be raised from the dead after 9 hours. If we believe that Lazarus and Jesus were raised from the dead, why not a little girl in 1984?
I believe if you believe the scriptures, I believe Jesus possibly could do that if you believe in the concept of Jesus and the fact that he could work miracles. But I don't believe a mortal man can raise a child that's been dead 9 hours back to life.
I don't believe a mortal man could either, but if Jesus did rise from the dead, then he's still alive today and he could do it today. I mean, if we don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, let's just quit beating around the bush and say that this guy, Jesus of Nazareth, was a big fraud.
Well, there are some people that might. There are some people that might, because I consider people like Oral Roberts a fraud, who's building a $60 million hospital to kill and cure cancer, and if he's such a great curer or healer, why doesn't he just go over and touch somebody that's got cancer and save all that money?
I am personally repulsed by Oral Roberts, but I may have been repulsed by Noah and Abraham in their day, and who am I to judge these guys? I don't know. And you don't
I think it's fun.
You think it's fun?
Yeah, I think it's fun to spar with people with different philosophies and outlooks on things. How do we learn things from and otherwise?
Okay.
Are you going to take everything verbatim that you read?
No, in fact, I don't. Absolutely, I do not. But I also do not take this iconoclastic approach and knock down everything in the world just because it happens to be something that's a little bit out of the ordinary. We don't know. We don't know these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know for a fact that, in my mind that Reverend Pike is going to die one day.
But you don't know that for a fact.
Oh, yeah, I
How
do.
Do you know
oh, yeah, I do, because it's been going on ever since Adam and Eve. Everybody's been dying. And this man, I'm going to read about it one of these days. I just know it. Hello there. You're on Sound Off.
Yes, Bob?
Yeah.
I would like to ask the Brother Pikes, I know a lot of discussion has been on the Hebrew 9:27, once appointed to die. I would like to ask Brother Pikes, could he elaborate on how this relates to the second death?
Okay, if you will, listen on your, is that your final question?
Yes, the second death in Revelation, yes.
Okay, fine.
Hey, Bob, I'll comment here as briefly as I can. This was the one thing that I was trying to avoid, but it's because it takes quite a bit of discussion, but I'll try to use a compact answer here. First of all, when you speak of the first death, it very definitely is a sleep. Jesus said, Lazarus sleepeth, I go to awake him. We won't try to detail these things. But then the Bible speaks of the second death, whereas the Bible teaches that they that live in pleasure are dead while they live. That is, they are twice dead and plucked up by the root. Now, in Revelation, it speaks of the second death, and the Bible teaches that blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. The second death, of course, is the lake of fire, and it is the death of the spirit, whereas the first death is the sleep of the body. So when we say that we have passed from death unto life because we believe the word of God, it means that we have passed from the state of death of the spirit, that our spirit can no longer die, and though our body should go to sleep, it shall surely be awakened. by he who is the resurrection.
I think about this point, we ought to wrap things up, Reverend Pike. I really appreciate you coming by. I have a great deal of admiration for a man who has such unfaltering faith. I hope you think no less of me or the callers who disagree with you. I think it's safe to say I'll be seeing you around because you obviously are going to be around for a long time. And maybe we can get you back again sometime here on Sound Off. And I think it was very interesting, if nothing else. Best of luck to you and to everybody that visited with us tonight.
I've certainly enjoyed it.
All right. See what you would have missed if you hadn't tuned in Sound Off tonight. We have hop, skipped, and jumped all around the issue area, and I hope you enjoyed it.